Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. We have Michael Dweck with us today. He is a Shark Tank veteran. He's a co-founder of Basic Outfitters. This is a really cool company. You've seen him on Shark Tank. They've been featured on Good Morning America, Forbes 30 Under 30, Men's Health, Vogue, and many others. People, welcome to the program today, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
First saw you guys on Shark Tank. You've got this really cool one-stop online shop that's replacing men's outworn undergarments with affordable, high-quality, cooler, hipper new ones. Tell me a little bit about your journey. What's your background, and how did you get to where you started this company?
Yeah, absolutely. So my journey really comes out of frustration. My wife and I started Basic Outfitters back in 2014, after we got married. We moved into a small apartment in Manhattan. My wife, being a fashion designer, has a lot of shoes, a lot of clothing. So, you know who was boss when it came to closet space and drawer space. And I was working in a prominent hospital in Manhattan as an administrator, and I have a background in management and operations. And so I, being the stylish administrator that I am, I have accumulated a lot of socks and underwear. And Laura basically told me, shove everything into that one drawer. And when the drawer wouldn't close, we knew we had that problem of way too much stuff.
Right.
And so she challenged me to throw out anything I hadn't worn in about 3 months. And it turned out to be 90% of the basics.
Okay.
And I'm a history major, so I started really diving into that. And I was like, well, why is it that I have so much stuff that I don't wear? And it turns out that there was a study that happened in England, in Oxford, where men keep their basics on average for 7 years, which is pretty disgusting.
Yeah, it is. I'm laughing because I'm a man and I'm not surprised. My wife would tell you probably about that long. Yeah.
And I was like, and Laura just looked at me, my new beautiful wife, my bride. And she's like, you're an animal. You're disgusting. Get rid of this stuff right now. And so I started going to department stores, which is like the bane of my existence. Underwear was in one place, socks were in another.
Right.
I started going on online, where a lot of these new direct-to-consumer websites were popping up, but they were still charging me $28 for one pair of underwear, $14.99 for one pair of socks. And I really wanted that Costco model, where I just want to refill bulk with high quality, low priced, and I couldn't find anything. It was either low quality, low price, high quality, high price. So that's really where the idea came from. And I started surveying the industry. I realized that it's, you know, over a $70 billion industry. Wow. Worldwide. And I said, well, here's the white space. There's gotta be guys like me who don't want to shop. And there's got to be a reason behind that 7-year statistic. And lo and behold, we created this concept of the Creator Drawer, which is Basic Outfitters' flagship service. So it's in a really simple and convenient way for you to shop in under 2 minutes. You could choose up to 10 pairs of socks, 3 pairs of underwear, 3 undershirts, and a pair of jogger sweatpants for $60. And the cool thing about that is that it's a 50% off discount from how much we normally sell it individually. So by bulking product, we were able to really pass along the savings to our customers.
Right. That's incredible. I mean, congratulations on this idea.
Thank you.
I love, I'm not saying simple, but I love straightforward simple solving, problem solving to obvious things that are out there that haven't been touched in many years. But you're right. We have to go across the department store to get our different pieces and it becomes a thing where we just don't go. And so, yeah, that's great. I love it. I'm about to be a customer after today. I love this idea.
Love it.
On top of that, my family takes my socks. That's just how it works. So they disappear all the time. My wife and my kids take them. So I need to keep bulking up on those. So give me a timeline here. So 2014, when was it when you said, man, we are really onto something here? I know you saw a gap in the marketplace, but when did you start to gain traction where you got that excitement that this is about to really take off?
Yeah, so we had a beautiful wedding in June of 2014. And we started talking about it as early as July 2014. And we were talking about it. And then by September, we were really digging in. We found ourselves at night. Our dates became talking about this, researching it in the library. I wanted to know the history of underwear. and then my lunch hours became, when I was working, lunch hours became just working on getting the concept, finding developers. And then I left my job for this to work full time in March of 2015, which was a massive step.
That's fast. That's great. Yeah.
That was really fast.
What was that like for you? Was there enough income coming in to replace that, or was this a leap of faith?
Yeah. So I'm all about risks, but it's all about calculated risks. So, right. One of the best things we did was we partnered up with market research firm Experian, and we did deep analysis, and we wanted to understand if this was really a viable business option, and we really wanted to understand the market, who our customer was going to be. And we had a hypothesis. We just assumed it was going to be a guy like me, but we took that and we verified it.
Good.
And that was incredible. And so in March, I started noticing that you know, the hours of the night were going longer and longer when we were working on this. And I just said, Laura, I think I gotta leave. I gotta take the jump. And so I was, you know, we were making money. We both worked in corporate America. Well, she was working in the fashion industry, and we were making comfortable salaries, and we always were saving up for something, whether that was a house, whether that was a business. We didn't really know, but we knew we wanted to put our money somewhere. And when we saw the market data, when I saw it was a viable business, I said, let's do it. We went all in. Laura, however, with that, like I said, that calculated plan, she was working on it part-time for a little bit longer and didn't really jump in for a few months after.
Yeah, that's really exciting. So you just continue to grow. It's been a roller coaster for you guys the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, so it was incredible, you know. Like a lot of life-changing events all at once.
It really is. That's amazing. So yeah, you get married a few months later. What a big change, career change, married, everything. Yeah, that's huge. So tell me some next milestones in your business, and when were some other times when you got a big leap or jump, whether it be from press? I know that we could talk about Shark Tank in a minute, but what else happened? And tell me some more of the timeline so far in your business, because I mean, I'm telling you, you know this, but so many businesses bootstrap for so many years, and you know you guys are not an overnight success, but almost. I mean, I know it's felt like a long journey for you, but you know, 3 years is fast. And I know that of being an entrepreneur and developing businesses myself. I mean, you've got a dream product and idea. And so keep walking me through it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I will mention that I had a lot more hair at the beginning of this process.
we all do. Yes.
I think my biggest thing was always the small wins. There were nights where I felt like crying and throwing my hands up in the air. But the really small wins is what got me through. I remember when we put up a landing page that just said, coming soon, put your email in if you're interested. We had next to no traffic, but we put it on Facebook, and all of a sudden we had some signups. And that just seeing the name Basic Outfitters on a landing page was surreal. Yeah. And then after that was getting the product, and we sourced. Laura and I were animals when it came to finding the right factories, ethical, sustainable factories. Hmm. And when we finally got quality samples that we wanted and we had it in hand, that was one of the greatest moments of this journey.
That's cool. That's your product.
That was the product. Yeah, and that really cool. brought yeah. That was incredible. And I'll tell you, when we were sourcing, we saw some things and we were like, this is not. And then when we finally had it and we tested it and it passed everything, we were like, this is it, you know. Mm. And that was really, you know, I think back now, and we probably don't give it enough credit now where we are, but that was really an incredible moment. You always got to reflect on where you were, because what I know now, if I knew it then, it would have been maybe I would have been able to do this in a year. and then we launched, and that was incredible, seeing our name in press outlets, seeing the ads. I was like, oh wow, people actually care. Right. And really a defining moment in the business was Laura and I. So we launched in November of 2015 the website to the public market, and things were going really well. You know, we launched during holiday time and people were looking to buy. Mm-hmm. So they right. came across it. We were doing really well. And then January and February came and sales just tanked. Mm. And we were like, what just happened here?
Right.
And we didn't realize a lot more goes into that marketing. And then then Microsoft called and they were vetting companies for the Small Business Challenge. Hmm. And we got nominated and we were in the final 10, and then we actually came in fourth place.
Wow.
And so companies and individuals from all over the country were nominating and voting every single day for the top small business in the country.
Wow.
And sales started to spike and traffic was spiking and customer feedback was incredible. And the reaction, people were voting from us from all over the country.
Wow.
And that was a real defining moment where I looked at Laura and I said, if we can get this in people's faces, they will understand it. They will understand our story. They'll understand why we're doing this and they'll want it. And that Microsoft moment was incredible.
Yeah, that's a big deal. That puts you in front of, that just really sped you up a couple of years of or more than that, of getting your product in front of people faster. And
yes.
Wow, that's huge. That's what that an opportunity, man.
Yeah, and that's something to be honest, I'm reflecting back and saying that was incredible. And with this whirlwind, the Shark Tank and Forbes, you know, Microsoft really was that catapult, because we looked at each other and said, people from all over the country are understanding this.
Right. Wow. That's huge. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And I love that you're looking back at this and you say the small moments, because a lot of times we build these companies, especially yours, taking the ride you have, it can be what's next and scale and efficiency and but as humans, as entrepreneurs, we need to also enjoy the process and the journey, because those small moments are our steps along the way. And so, you know, I love that you said that. It's a good reminder to me that I love that you love the small moments. I have to remind myself often of the small moments, because we're living them each day and we need to appreciate them.
Yeah. So it was at that point that we said, you know, there's an opportunity. If we were to go on Shark Tank, we can definitely learn from these sharks. And
yeah.
And so we applied, and that was a long process, and we can go into that a little bit after.
Yeah.
But the next milestone was, I suppose we were on ABC's kind of radar, and we got a call to go on Black Friday, Thanksgiving Day, on Good Morning America. They wanted to feature Basic Outfitters. And again, I honestly, there's gotta be, we're just very lucky. I think that's what it comes down to.
Well, you've got a good product too. And good products that are at the right place at the right time, which yes is luck, but they do rise to the top. I really do believe that. Yeah. Now, there's some great products that never see the light of day, but a good product at the right time and place is going to come up. And you're just proof of that.
Yeah, thank you. So we went on Good Morning America. And so during the Shark Tank process, the other thing that people don't know is you don't know when they may air this, because you film it in advance. And we went on Good Morning America, and we were really excited. This was going to be network television, Thanksgiving Day. People are home cooking their turkeys before football. And they accidentally said, "This is a, this company just aired on Shark Tank." And we just went crazy. We were like, "Oh my god!" And I think that added to this to the exposure, because it wasn't just, "Hey, we're on Good Morning America," and they're talking about us. They were also saying this company was good enough to make it onto Shark Tank.
Wow!
And that kind of those were kind of the milestones of 2015 and 2016 that really led us to where we are. We believe in our product. We love our product, but we're incredibly fortunate that all of those stars aligned for us in that order.
So a couple of questions I have that come to mind, and then I want to hear more about Shark Tank and some other things you have going on. But so were you ready for the boost that came along? Were there any challenges that happened along the way that you didn't expect, that log jammed? Or tell me about that, because sometimes people get the exposure and they're not ready for it.
Before
Shark Tank. I know Shark Tank does a great job of vetting and the whole Shark Tank effect, and it's ridiculous, but the other shows probably don't. So
yeah, they,
how do you prepare for that? Were you ready?
Yeah. So one of the things that I, if not to tout myself, but Laura is, the company is Laura, from the design, from the marketing, from the imagery, it's Laura. She's the creative genius behind the company. And really, I give her all the credit in that department. My background is operations and management, which is really funny because I was working in healthcare. I actually donated blood today, and everybody should go donate blood.
Yes.
And I was back in the hospital that I was donating blood in, and they all said to me, all the people I used to work with, they're like, how did you go from working in hospital management to selling underwear? And the answer is, it's really, I worked in operations and I knew how to build an infrastructure. And we're a very small, lean team, but at the same time, we work with a great group of freelancers that really believe in the ideology. They're excited about what we're doing. They're really disgusted by that 7-year statistic and our mission to kind of eradicate that and make men change their underwear more frequently.
Right.
And as a result, I was able to, you know, during the slower months, I was really focused on building up the infrastructure. I partnered up with a great web developer who kind of gave me all the tricks of the trade. My warehousing has been a little bit of a rocky, bumpy road because of the rapid growth, where we were in some great warehouses, but as we scaled, we were scaling faster than we thought. And so we had some difficulty there, but generally, when it came to the infrastructure, from our accounting, from all of our back end, I was able to kind of foresee some of the issues that I knew were going to come up just from my background in operations. And that was really, really, really beneficial. And I'll give you an example. Before going on Good Morning America, we realized, hey, we have this great website and we built it up. However, what happens? We've never had this type of exposure before. What happens if the website fails? What happens if we don't have enough servers? Because you could only plan so much.
Right.
And I said, well, why don't we go to a backup? Why don't we just use a simple WordPress or Shopify template? We could have it up in a matter of a few hours. And if the website fails, we can just go to a backup redundancy plan. And lo and behold, we did. And we actually didn't. I think we lost maybe 30 seconds of time, where we went down and we were able to continue selling to a backup site that a customer would never have known was a different website.
Yeah, that's great. So that brings it back to my earlier statement of being in the right place at the right time, but also having the right team. You guys, I could see a less experienced team that might have had the same great idea and might have faltered at those times. So, man, great job again for how you did your development and your infrastructure early on. That's just a testament to your vision and to your experience from other industries. So take me to Shark Tank. I read somewhere where you applied through just kind of a generic email address. Love it.
So Laura and I were just talking one night and we just said, you know, this would be a great experience. Why don't we do it? And we weren't, we kind of saw the, we studied the sharks. We always watched. It was more of like a, it was, It was kind of like a night on the couch for us, just watching Shark Tank. And we said, all of these sharks bring tremendous value. Why don't we do it? And I actually was the naysayer. I said, Laura, I'm reading online that it's like 0.1 or 0.01% of people get on the show. And she's like, who cares? So we sent a blind email to casting or at ABC or sharktank.com. I don't remember.
Right.
And heard nothing. Radio silence. And we're sitting at dinner maybe 2-3 months later. We're about to sit down at dinner and I get a phone call from an unknown number in California. And I never answer unknown numbers. And I looked at Laura. I was like, I think I'm going to answer this. And she's like, okay. Turns out I left her at the table for somewhat of like an hour. Turns out to be a casting member of Shark Tank. And they were just asking us questions about the business. And they were like, okay, so the next step is, well, I can't really get into what the next step was, but they were like, you have a little homework and here's what you have to do. And it's due by 3 days, in 3 days. And I said, oh, okay. All right. I could do that for you. Ran back to the table. She was like, what was that? You just left me sitting here like alone. and I was like, Laura, Shark Tank just called us and they're interested. So we got to work with all the homework and we got it done.
And you're simplifying that too, because we've interviewed several people that have been on the show, Deal or Not, and they talk about what a beast it is for several months to go through that.
So I liken it as a second job, and Laura likens it to business boot camp.
Wow. Okay.
So So we got back to we had our dinner. And then we went straight back to the office. We had a whiteboard session, which is my favorite thing.
Yes.
We said, what's going to be the angle here? How are we going to accomplish these tasks that they're asking us? And we came to the conclusion that whatever we do, we're going to treat it as a job interview. No matter who we speak to during the process, no matter what we do, this is going to be a job interview. And whatever they ask us to do, we're going to do it 120%. It was funny. I remember that weekend, my entire family was going away together. And I made the executive decision where I called my mom and I said, I can't come. And I'm going to focus on this. And we did. And so we submitted it back to the casting director. And they emailed us back. Thank you. If you hear from us, you hear from us. And if you don't, you don't.
Right. After all that next work. Yes.
So
when did you hear from them again?
Yeah. So to make the story, I'll tell you a little bit more about the story.
Yes, please.
Laura and I were planning. We always wanted to go to Japan. And we decided that we were going to do a trip to Japan as our anniversary trip in conjunction with a business trip overseas to go look at some new factories. And you get a little bit of the business and pleasure.
Right.
And so Laura was like, you know what? I really don't want to go to Japan. I think that we need to get back to work immediately. And I was like, no, it's fine. She's like, well, what if Shark Tank calls? And I said, Shark Tank's not going to call for a little bit. Trust me. Look at how the first time worked out. And that was like 3 months. And so I convinced her. I was like, we have once in a lifetime opportunity. You know, Japan's a very expensive trip. We're going all the way across the world anyway. Let's just do a stopover and we'll go see what we want to see in Japan and all the sites. And I finally convinced her. So so we did. We land in JFK back from the trip, land in JFK. I wake up the next morning and I have a email from Shark Tank that says, "Hi, we're trying to get in touch with you. Please call us. Please call us today."
Of course, that's great.
not even unpacked, we got on the phone with them, and they basically said, "Hey, we've allocated you a producer. You're going to be working with these producers. You have to fill out all of these legal documents. You can seek your own legal advice, but this is what it is. And if you want to proceed, you can proceed." And so we sat down with our partners and our investors, and we said, is this something that we want to do? And we went forward, and we had a weekly call with all these different tasks and all these different you know, hoops and bounds that we had to get through. And like Laura and I said, we're going to treat this as an interview each and every time. So we went to work every day. We did our daily tasks, and then we ordered dinner, and we went into the conference room, and we worked on Shark Tank. And
wow.
And that was kind of the process. And then they called us and they said, hey, you're going to come to California. And, you know, I think this was probably, let's see, probably 4 months later, they said, hey, you're going to come out and you're going to film.
Wow.
And that's what happened.
Quite a process. This is incredible. Man, and then being on the show itself, I mean, give us another minute about your experience. You did not end up doing a deal, but just give me a quick recap of your experience in the tank too.
Yeah. So, we had studied kind of every scenario, and we had talked with our investors and kind of how we wanted to approach things. And we were really prepared. So we went in there. During the process, Laura and I were very, very nervous. And then I have to tell you, we got there, and the nerves kind of subsided. And it's funny because a lot of people we speak to say that the nerves kicked in because it became so real. But we did a tour of the studio, and it was very, very familiar. You're watching them on TV, and we're in the eighth season. So we watched seven seasons of the same backdrop.
Right.
And you almost feel like you know the states.
Right.
And so when we walked in there, at least I was cool as a cucumber. I was like ready to go. And that little clip of Laura pumping me up beforehand, that happens on like the daily. Like we're like a really good partnership. So that was like really natural and organic.
That's
for us.
Awesome.
And it really made me feel like I had my partner, I had my better half next to me. And walking in there, once we were there and once we saw the set and we understood the room and where we were, it was very, very familiar.
And you kind of feel like you know them already because of watching the show for so long.
Right.
You're sitting in there and you're much closer to them than the show looks like.
Really?
And that's an interesting feeling. Cause it's really like a conversation. Once you get past the pitch process, it's really like a conversation, and it's pretty close. The rug is closer than you think. And it really feels like a conversation that you and I are having.
Wow.
Or if we were in the same room. So that actually was very unnerving as well. That was very, very interesting. That's something that I wasn't anticipating. The other thing that I wasn't anticipating is you're in there for a lot longer than they show you on television. And like my legs were starting to hurt a little because I was staying for so long. But that process of going in there and being in there was it felt familiar.
That's really incredible. I know somebody that was on season one, and they reminded me, hey, remember, we didn't know what Shark Tank was going to be, so it didn't have the same, there was no familiarity about it. But going in that many seasons later, I think I've seen almost every episode, so my wife and I would sit there and watch them too. So that's amazing to all of a sudden be on the set, even after all that prep work you've done.
Yeah. You know, what was really interesting was before we went on and we were kind of on the set before we pitched, and the sharks were taking a short break. They're just walking around like normal people. You know them, right? Season one, they would never have known these people. So.
Right, exactly. Right. But now, I mean, they're larger than life now, way larger than life. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
So tell me, coming out of the tank, what kind of Shark Tank effect did you experience? Did your e-commerce experience?
We were really satisfied with how it came out. I think one of the things that you don't know is how you reacted to things and how that's going to end up being played out on television.
Right.
Like I said, we're in there for a good amount of time and you're only seeing a small glimpse of it. But we were really happy that the quality of our product and the concept was really validated by the sharks. And I think that was really tremendous for us. And we really saw that the Shark Tank effect is really larger than life. We saw a spike in business almost tenfold. Wow. Within 24 hours, maybe even more.
Wow. So tell me about sustaining. I mean, you obviously have had a great go-to-market strategy. You've built your infrastructure and your partners correctly, and all of your digital and your online, all of your advertising has been great. You've gone great with publicity. How have you been able to sustain that? We've talked to some businesses that, you know, got a bump on Good Morning America or something that they did, and then kind of tried to ride that wave, and then there was crickets. But you've seemed to be able to maintain a very public with between Forbes and all the other things you're doing. You're doing great Thanks. Job on that. How else are you? What else are you doing? You've obviously probably got great customer retention, but tell me some other things you're doing that are exciting as far as social media or how you're continuing to spread the word.
So I think on a side note, what was very interesting was that Laura and I were named to Forbes 30 Under 30 prior to Shark Tank, without them knowing anything about
That's
Shark
awesome.
Tank. So we thought that was pretty cool, and so in terms of riding the wave, it really was the perfect storm for us.
Right.
One of the things that is very beneficial of Shark Tank is that you become part of this the Shark Tank Alumni Society, and so through that I've kind of met people have reached out. I've reached out, and you kind of have a little bit more clout to speak to some of these really massive, larger than life companies that went on the Shark Tank and really rode the wave. And I think that the theme that I've heard from a lot of these people is that, look, Shark Tank is a great platform to get visibility, but it's not your marketing plan. And
right.
I've really taken that to heart, because I feel like we've put so much in to get to Shark Tank that I kind of now and a little bit prior to going on, I started to realize that we really need to put a really focused marketing strategy together. So right now we're really focused on our social game. We noticed that when we tell the story of Laura and I, and that we explain why the catalyst of why we started this company, it really does resonate with a lot of men and women who are shopping for their spouses or their significant others. And through that, we've been bumping up our social media strategy, and we're really starting to realize how important it is with creative assets, with photography and with video, with videos. And so we're really starting to focus in on that. Additionally, we've had an overwhelming reaction to our appearance from women. Women want the Creator Drawer. Hmm. It started as a men's problem, but now we're hearing from women, there's nothing on the market that is the same price point that would be the same quality. So it's a pocket of opportunity that we're rapidly focusing on and investing in, and we hope to be getting to market very, very soon. And so that's we see a real growth opportunity in our business. And additionally is going international. Right now we're really focused on the U.S., but we definitely see a market in international. So there's all these little pockets, and we've kind of said to ourselves, look, Shark Tank has put us in a great opportunity, and now let's go forth and keep going.
Love it, man. I'm real excited for you guys. So proud of what you're doing.
Thank you.
In this wave, what are you talked about the small moments, but what are you most proud of so far in this process?
I have to say, I mean, the Forbes 30 Under 30 was the most validating piece for me. As an entrepreneur, one of the things that I've learned the most is to read. I spend every weekend, I turn off my phone, my computer is shut down, and I don't answer emails for about 24 hours. And that's really for me not to burn out. And what I do is I print out articles from online. I have my magazines. And I'm reading Fast Company, I'm reading Inc., and I'm reading Forbes, Business Insider, Business News, and to be in Forbes and to open it that weekend that it came out, and to read my name was the most validating thing that I think in starting this company, launching, you know, officially filing an LLC in 2015 and being in Forbes in 2017 has been a whirlwind and an incredible journey for me. And yeah. I'm really very, very proud of that.
Man, so excited for you guys. I mean, you're talking about some big things going on. Anything left, though, that you've yet to accomplish on your list? It can be on your bucket list that are some things coming up. You got to go to Japan, but what are some other big things that you want to do soon that you've yet to get to do?
There's a lot. I think I want to infuse some type of social component to our business, and I know that that's it's a big conversation in the industry right now with all these startups. A lot of them are socially conscious and giving back. And I think for Basic Outfitters, it wasn't necessarily something that we went out with the mission. I think ethical factories and wrap certified factories was very, very important for us. But I think now that we're seeing the success, it's time for us to say, what can we give back to? Hmm. And I have my background is working in cancer. So, it's something that we're really starting the conversations about is how can we give back? And I think that's something for me that I really want to get to, and I want to get back to really what was motivating me when I worked at the hospital, which was really improving people's lives. And I feel like it's not on the same level, but you know, selling Basics is definitely improving men's lives and the women in their life as well.
Right.
but I want to somehow get back to that. And I think that my team, just speaking internally with all my employees, it's something that I think we're all passionate about.
Love that. Man, thank you so much. Last question I have. Any final entrepreneurial advice you have for our listeners out there that just has been top of mind for you lately that you want to share?
Yeah, absolutely. If there's – and if, it's probably cliche, but if there's something – that is a struggle in your life or something that just doesn't seem right and you're questioning it, explore it, because there may be a giant opportunity and white space for you to tackle and just go for it.
Man, I love it. Your story is amazing. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for sharing it. Enjoy New York. My wife's a New York girl. We try to get over there as much as we can.
Awesome.
So love that you guys are there and are running your business there. Hey, I want our listeners to check out basicoutfitters.com. And we're going to continue to follow you, Michael. I'm so excited for what you guys are going to come up with next. So again, thanks for taking the time being on our show. And we look forward to following all the awesome things that you guys are going to do next too.
Thank you. I really appreciate the time. It was a pleasure speaking with you and keep posted.
Yeah. Thanks, Michael. We'll talk soon.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.